And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're here to give you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. And we rebroadcast this program at 3 p.m. Pacific Time Sundays on A2Zen.fm. That's A2Zen.fm. And there is a link at the bottom of the homepage if you want to scroll down there. If you missed the broadcast on, say, Saturday, and you just go ahead and listen to it live, if you will, rebroadcast, replayed on Sunday, rather than downloading it or what have you, whatever you choose to do. And we encourage you to check out all of our guests. Fascinating guests, not only that we've had, but ones that we have coming up, including our guest today. It is a beautiful day here on the central coast of California, here in the United States of America, planet Earth. And it's one of the times of the year that everyone is doing assessments. Everybody is looking within, seeing what things they would like to alter about themselves, if it's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. Then looking without themselves, outside of themselves. I have a studio that, quite honestly, if it weren't for the fact that it was part of a small two-room cottage, I'd have the studio bulldozed and rebuilt. Then it would be clean for a while. I have so many piles of books in there and papers. That's my filing system. I stack my papers. That has to change. But we're all doing that this time of year. And many of us who are, shall we say, on the active path of trying to understand ourselves and how we fit into the universe, are looking within and trying to listen to that still small voice. And we've referred to it many times. Well, my guest is going to help you to connect with and converse with your higher self. One of the things we want to avoid are arguments and fights. So she's going to help us to not just listen to, but I've often found that the key aspect of the higher self and your conversations and connection and so forth is following through on the guidance given. Guidance doesn't do you much good unless you take it and use it. My guest is Joanne DiMaggio. She's the author of Soul Writing, Conversing with Your Higher Self. And Joanne, thank you so much for joining us here on the program.
My pleasure. I'm glad to be here, Richard.
And I'm curious, how has your, it's not really spring cleaning, but it's that transition from the old year to the new that perpetuates this, I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to bulldoze my studio and rebuild it, or whatever the case may be. How's that been going for you in the last first couple of weeks of this new year?
Well, actually, very well, because I really want to focus in on writing more. I tend to get distracted a lot, and other things come up and they grab my attention. I'm a typical Aries. I like to give birth to ideas, but then give them away for somebody else to raise. But I really love to be in the flow of writing, and have vowed that I'm going to find a way to have some undisturbed time where I can really connect with higher self, with source, and get all of that wonderful inspiration that I get when I'm in that altered state. So that's definitely a priority for me.
It is said by Edgar Cayce that basically it's our birthright to communicate with our source and listen to that still small voice, a voice that guides and inspires us to find the answers that lie within. Now, my wife and I used to attend a gathering in Phoenix, Arizona, once a month gathering, and there was a woman who channeled I want to say a collective of entities that called themselves Equinox. And after going a number of times, I began to understand that if I'm listening to my higher self, the only thing that I am really going to get out of these sessions with this channeled information is nothing more than confirmation of what I already know.
Exactly.
So when we go outside of ourselves and seek that intuitive information from another person, that's really all that's happening, because we already know this stuff. And you're here to help us to trust. Is that the key, the trusting?
Absolutely. That's probably one of the biggest hurdles that people who attempt to do soul writing or inspirational writing, if you want to call it that, they don't let go. They want to control the words. And I tell everyone, this is a stream of consciousness writing. So you don't worry about things like dotting I's and crossing T's, and you don't edit. You don't worry about where the paragraph is, whether a word is spelled right or wrong. You just keep the flow going and get out of the way and trust that trust your source, whoever that may be for you. But that is the most difficult part of the process, and people that have taken, I do an online course for ARE on this, and that's probably one of the biggest comments that people make, is that they thought that they were interfering somehow and they weren't succeeding. But once they learn how to let that go and not have any expectations and just allow the words to flow, it completely changes the message and the experience.
The interesting dynamic with an individual like Edgar Cayce, I find a little interesting, because here is a man, if I'm correct in his conscious waking state belief system, he was a born-again Christian.
Yes, absolutely.
And yet he channeled 95% of what we read in the books that are out there about him.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he did not, if I'm correct, he struggled almost to his dying day with the whole concept of channeling because of his conscious waking state beliefs.
Right.
He didn't
right.
trust. Is that a fair statement, that there was a certain part of him that just didn't trust that this was from God, from the Creator, from the universe?
Well, I believe that's the case with him and with many people that are doing this work. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things that people say when they actually start to do this writing. The big question is, who is doing this? Where is this coming from? Who is really doing the writing? And it's an interesting thing, because it's really a process. Cayce went through a process. And the thing about Edgar Cayce is he did 14,000 readings in his lifetime. And the readings were based on questions that people asked. So it wasn't as though he was just starting to expound on some topic, random topic.
Right.
Someone would come and ask him a question, and then he would go to his source and then the answer would be given. That's the same process that people could go through when they're doing this sort of writing. You're going to your source, you're asking the question, and then you're getting the answer. Because that's what he meant by that's part of our birthright, mm-hmm. to ask those questions and to expect answers to come back.
So in a manner of speaking, Cayce was no special case. I mean, because you and I, we can do it too.
We could do it, not obviously to the extent that he can,
sure.
That he did it, but to a certain extent we can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been done for centuries. It's not anything new.
Right.
And if you look all through history, you see some of the most famous writers and composers and people who are dealing with the creative process. They're questioning, too, where is this coming from? I know it's mm-hmm. coming from some other source other than me, but it's coming through you.
Right.
It's not like it's a outside entity that's attaching to you and making you write these things down. This is a much higher level than that. It's coming through you, through your soul, and then out through your hand. So it's just a beautiful, beautiful process.
In the second half of our program, we're going to get into some specifics as to how people can begin the process of communicating mm-hmm. and conversing with their higher self. But I'm wondering if you've ever run across, because I have, people who will walk up to me, and of course, the first 15 years of my career, I was surrounded by Christians, ministers, pastors, lay people who had radio programs, who had prayer programs, and they would want to walk up to me or others and say, God wanted me to tell you this,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, hey, Joanne, I understand you're intuitive, and I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is it our place, and does our higher self really give us information to give to somebody else?
You know, I think that happens very seldom. I think that the ego gets involved in that. I know that when we do something called the companion mode of healing, in which I'm doing writing on behalf of somebody else, I always ask their permission. Is this all right for me to do? Can I ask on your behalf and provide this information to you? But to just presume that this is information that you should be giving out, I think that can be sort of dangerous. And I do not recommend that or encourage that at all.
Yeah, and I know that you do not claim to be an intuitive or a psychic. You converse
right.
with your higher self.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So
right.
The higher self, the still small voice, and again, we can put pretty much any name we want to it. Is it the same as, and I'm going to give you another list of names, is it the same, is it the same as God, the Creator, the universal power, the universal intelligence, etc.?
Right. It's you're getting information, you're accessing information from a higher source, and that could be the creative forces, which is another name for God, could be angels, could be your higher self, and then it's just connecting to the infinite, to the all that is. And you know, you go into this state of divine connection. And that's where you can get answers to any questions that you have. And that's something that anybody can learn to do.
Interesting. Well, we have an interesting program coming up, and we're also going to be taking a break to talk with astronomical and astrological assignment editor, Beth McDonald, in a little bit. But we're also going to take a break and talk with, for about 5 minutes, Stephen Halpern, who has some interesting information for us. Stephen Halpern, you ask? Well, believe it or not, I grew up. And when I say that, I say in my spiritual walk, starting at about the age of 17, I started listening to some of his music. And I'm wondering, Joanne, if you use outward tools to help you get into those, I want to say, meditative states or places where you are listening to and connecting and even conversing with the higher self.
Right. Well, that's something that that's one of the 12 what I call writing rituals of setting the stage.
Okay.
And I do listen to music, and I change it up. It depends on the mood or what I happen to have available. But when I do my classes, I also always have some music in the background. And I am familiar with Stephen's music. It's one of the foundations of my library, and but yes, music, lighting. Some people like to surround themselves with things that remind them of their spiritual path. So it could be totems, it could be crystals, it could be candles or incense, or Casey talked about bells, having the sound of bells, just something that helps you to deepen that meditative state. And so you sort of set the stage for yourself. And I like to write with a fountain pen. You know, some people do it on the keyboard, which is another one of the writing rituals I talk about. But yes, in answer to your question, music is a very, very important part of the process for me.
At the age of 21, I believe I was given a blank book. It was gold embossed on the outside leather cover. Very nice book. And I had never journaled before. I had never written anything down before. And I have to say that I don't think that any of my writings were necessarily conversations with or from my higher self. It was more the journaling aspect. But then I started buying more of these blank books and filling them up. And it's been a long time since I've done that, but I have like 5 or 6 or 7 of these books, and I used ballpoint pen and worked for me. And then, of course, if there were little artifacts that came along as I grew, I have, I don't know where it came from off the top of my head, but I've got a crushed rose in there. I've got a leaf, a couple of other things that had meaning for me and me alone, of course. But are these kinds, this is along the lines of what you're talking about, getting yourself, I mean, again, I guess each person has to choose whether they're going to just take a stack of sheets of paper or in their computer or get a blank book that's really nice they like and just start the process.
Right, right. Well, you could do it on loose leaf paper. You could do it on the back of an envelope. You could do it really on anything. Some people do like to do it on a keyboard. I personally don't because if you have your eyes halfway closed and you're off one key, you'll never be able to read a word you wrote.
Yes.
And, you know, it feels different when it goes through your hand. There's just something about it. Everything slows down. And and the flow of the ink on the paper I always found fascinating. I loved to write with a quill pen when I was young, and that's why I still love the fountain pen. There's just something about seeing the way the letters are forming. And when you feel it, you feel the energy going through your arm. You know you're not alone. You know that you have a companion in spirit that's working with you. It's just the most awesome feeling. And the writing sounds different. When you read it, it looks different than the writing you do in a conscious state. So I tell people to experiment, to whatever feels good for you.
Right.
Some people use a mechanical pencil even. So just find what you really like, experiment, and then stick with it.
Tell me about how all of this began. Was this part of your childhood, or was there a particular event as you grew into your spiritual walk that led you in this direction?
Well, it's interesting because and this happens to a lot of people. I began doing this without realizing I was doing this. And the first time it happened, I was about 9 years old, and I tell this story in my book about how I grew up in an Italian-American family, and my grandparents spoke fluent Italian, and so did my parents, even though my parents were born here. But whenever my parents didn't want us, my brother or I, didn't know what they were talking about, they would slip into Italian and speak to each other. And, of course, that enraged me because I thought this very exclusionary. I wanted to be a part of the conversation, and I was curious what they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided I was going to create my own language, and I went into the bathroom, which was the only private room we had in the house, sat under the sink, and being a good Catholic girl, I knew how to say my prayers really well. So I said, you know, dear Jesus, will you help me? Will you help me come up with a language of my own, an alphabet that I can use, and then Mom and Dad won't know what I'm writing? And I sat there for a while, fully expecting I was going to get an answer. And sure enough, I got these little symbols that came up, and I developed an alphabet from it, and then left little messages all around the house. Of course, Mom and Dad could care less, so that was useless. But I forgot about it, and then 25 years later, still in love with the whole process of writing, I took a calligraphy class at a local community college, and the instructor had a chart, and she was showing the very beginning of written language, the history of handwriting, actually. And lo and behold, there were my little symbols. And I sat there and I thought, wow, how could anybody know? That was a secret. Only I knew it and Jesus knew it. And turns out it was the Phoenician alphabet.
Really?
Which was from 1000 BC,
oh,
right?
Oh, my gosh.
So somehow in that prayer, in that altered state of consciousness as a 9-year-old, I tapped into something that that came then through it. You know, my prayer got answered. I asked for an alphabet. I got it. I didn't realize it was a real one, you know, at the time. So that was the first time it happened. Then it happened again when I was in college, and I majored in history and was not a particularly good student, somewhat lazy, but I loved 18th century American history. And whenever we had an essay exam, I would go into the class, knew full well I wasn't prepared because I hadn't read the material, but I did attend the lectures. And I'd do it again. I'd say this prayer, you know, I didn't really study, and I need some help with this. And put the pen down, and the pen would just take off, and I would get an A on the paper. Now, I couldn't do that in any other class. It was just for 18th century American history. And my professor took me in his office one day, and he said, you know, you have the most uncanny feel for the 18th century of any student I ever had. And I didn't put two and two together that I was getting some assistance or that perhaps this was even a past life coming through. But that was the second time it happened. Then the third time was right after Shirley MacLaine came out with Out on a Limb in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the big wake-up call for a lot of us. And I had a friend who wanted us to play with the Ouija board. Now, here we are, you know, married with children, and we're playing with a Ouija board. And I didn't know that that was a dangerous thing to do. But as we were doing it, she was doing it with her husband one day, and I thought, well, I'm going to just write the letters down. And as I sat to write the letters down, the pen started moving, and I got an E and then an L and an M. And then that started to go into full words, and then the words became sentences and so on. Now, that was an example of automatic writing
mm-hmm.
versus inspirational writing or soul writing. And there is a difference between the two. But that was pretty much my introduction to being able to go into this altered state and getting information through the written word. And I found out later, I attended a ARE conference in Chicago with Dr. Henry Reed, and he introduced the audience to the concept of inspirational writing. And from there, I started to do some research in the Casey readings, because there are many Casey readings about inspirational versus automatic writing.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I decided to do a thesis on it when I got my master's degree at Atlantic University in Virginia Beach. So it's been with me all my life, but I haven't really paid attention to it until relatively recently.
I know,
so,
too, that they're saying that, I heard this interesting joke, that isn't it interesting how they pushed longhand or cursive writing
mm-hmm.
on us as we were going through school,
mm-hmm.
and now nobody uses it, which is an over-exaggeration, because there are some who do use it. I still use it from time to time. I still
mm-hmm.
know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not lost on me. But I will say, before we break here, that I was in a program once where we were asked to write some things down and then exchange the papers, and which
mm-hmm.
I did. And
mm-hmm.
one woman she made a comment about the fact that I was printing everything instead of writing in adult cursive. In other words, implying that I was writing like a child.
Mm-hmm.
And to which I explained to her, I said, if I wrote it in cursive, you wouldn't be able to read it. I should have been a doctor. And that's and of course, your book cover is very apropos, not only because you have a quill or a fountain pen there, if you will.
Right.
And
right.
then soul writing is in longhand or cursive.
Uh-huh.
And that is the title of Joanne DiMaggio's book, Soul Writing, Conversing with Your Higher Self. And I will ask you to stay on the line, Joanne. We're going to take a short break, and we will be back in just a moment. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World.
Professional glass blower and craftsman Saul Alcaraz of Santa Barbara Art Glass can teach you to make that special gift for that special someone.
I guarantee that if you come in here, you will make paperweights, tumblers, or a mug, a bowl. You will get it done on your first lesson, even if you've never done it. Guarantee.
If I wanted to learn how to blow glass, what do I need to come to Saul with?
You gotta be extremely hyper, especially if you're gonna be doing it professional. You only have like 5 seconds to work with. If you wanna create art and sculpting and all that kind of stuff, then it's not a problem. You can take your time. Glass will not break.
Can people come by the shop unexpected?
I like it when they come in unexpected, and they'll probably bring some good energy in. Our studio, it's at 706 East Mason Street, 2 blocks from Miltos in Santa Barbara.
How do people get a hold of you?
Check out my website, sbrglass.com, or call us at 805-965-1541.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
Till I got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Very swinging sound here in the Bill Hart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the precious thing that I ever heard.
Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. It's time now to go to our assignment editor, our astronomical and astrological assignment editor, who is recovering from the full moon. I believe it came down and bonked you on the head or something.
It did. It did. Now, rang off the wall.
I've never heard of anybody having those kinds. I've heard of weird events happening, you know, like if you're driving and you see people doing stupid stuff, you know, but I've never heard of anybody really being affected in such a way as you shared with me. But I don't believe in I believe in coincidences, not coincidences.
Yes.
There is a difference, folks. There's a difference.
There is.
All right, we just went through a full moon, and now we're heading towards a new moon. We are in this first month. We're almost halfway through January 2012. Tell us where we are and where we're going from here.
Well, there's all kinds of answers to that question, Richard, but what makes me the happiest right now is that towards the end of the week, the sun moves from Capricorn into Aquarius, and Aquarius is the visionary, the seeker, the humanitarian, the one who's kind of looking down the road and really looking at it from all the angles.
Okay.
Aquarius it's an air sign, and so Aquarians are deep, deep thinkers and great analysts. And so with that, and what I love about this time of year is, you know, about the time we move from Capricorn, which is all about how we manage our money and resources, about the time we figure out that we got to do something with our money and do something differently, Aquarius shows up and opens our minds a little bit and helps us to think outside of the box to find those solutions.
Mm. Well, that is going to be the big key. I've been talking with people who are saying that very thing, that one of the reasons why we collectively are in the state we're in is because of choices that we have made in the past.
Yeah.
But that the choices that we made were the same old choices we've always made, and that we must think outside the box before we choose again.
Yeah.
It cannot be done the same way anymore, because this is a new time. New energy.
New times call for new solutions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And those new solutions can be found at BethMcDonaldConsulting.com, as well as 963-0842. And we look forward to talking with you again next week.
Awesome. Thanks, Richard.
Great. Thanks for joining us. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. And as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story, we're going to also talk with Stephen Halpern. Stephen Halpern is going to be one of the featured speakers at the Consciousness, it's actually in Los Angeles, the Conscious Live Expo. It's the 10th annual, February the 10th through the 12th. There's also a post-conference event on the 13th of February at the L.A. Hilton. And Stephen, I want to thank you so much for joining our program. It's a pleasure to have you here and to hear your music. I grew up in my spiritual walk, if you will, listening to Chakra Suite. It was the only thing that I had available at the time. But then, of course, all kinds of other folks came out with that. Tell me about your part in this conference and what you're going to be sharing with us that particular weekend.
Great. I've always been working, Richard, in the arena of using sound and music to support our own health and healing, and to help us deepen and amplify our own spirituality. So in that context, particularly using music as an aid for meditation, and specifically what I'll be talking about and debuting this year at the Expo on Sunday at 12 noon, I think, is when I'm doing my workshop, sharing some of my latest explorations, research, and soundscapes for deep meditation, And for people who have problems with sleep, I have another series, but we're combining now some new compositions, some extraordinary music, with brainwave synchronization technology so that you can choose for virtually immediate access to get you into a deeper meditation state that is so healing and balancing for body, mind, and spirit that in this 2012 year when so many different kinds of creative, chaotic energies are going on, so much more stress in the world, the way that many of us deal with that is to amplify our own innate balance and essence. And music has been historically, for thousands of years, used as a way to balance internally and to connect with the spiritual reality, whether you call it God or the quantum field or whatever tradition, that aspect of stillness, of being still and knowing and getting in that space that Dr. Chopra calls the gap between thoughts, and I call getting in the space between the tones, where we tap into the power of now. You can only get relaxed, and you can only be relaxed in the present moment. You can't be relaxed in the future. And I share in my workshop tools and techniques and resources and information, both that you can apply where you live, where you work, to create a more balancing and supportive sound environment, and also give you access to tools and resources so that you can use, whether it's your iPod or an MP3 player or your computer or your boombox or your voice and some other aspects, to really use sound and music more effectively to benefit yourself and your family and friends.
You know, you touched upon a couple of quick things, and we only have a couple of moments here, so we'll have to save some of this, of course, for our interview that we'll be having with you, and graciously, you're going to come back on May the 12th on Saturday afternoon to talk with us further about all of this. But what about the human voice? Is that not considered the ultimate instrument only because it's creating vibration from vibration, if you will?
Well, it certainly can be, and it's an instrument that we all have. But again, a little training is necessary, and there are many people that have techniques and books and programs out there. One of the simplest ones was a woman I studied with in the 70s on vocal toning. The beauty of using the voice is that you can do it yourselves. It's legal. It's non-addictive.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things that you can't, for instance, we can't be doing toning right now and having this conversation. However,
right.
I could be playing a healing soundtrack in the background, keeping myself balanced
mm-hmm.
as I'm speaking with you. So right. It's not an either-or situation or even a better than.
Right.
It's a both-and situation. But I've always supported and recommended using the voice.
And folks can get more information by going to not only your website, I'm sure, but also to the website of the Expo. And again, we're talking about the Conscious Life Expo, 10th annual, February 10th through the 12th at the LAX Hamilton. The Hilton Hamilton. I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, and we look forward to seeing you on that Sunday. My wife and I are planning on coming up, coming down to Los Angeles to hear you speak as well as to see some other folks.
Look forward to seeing you then. And people can check up with me at stephenhalpern.com in the meantime.
Great. And I know there's a link there as well to the Expo. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay with us. We have more coming up on Tell Me Your Story.
The Chari Center of Health with Deepak and Rupa Chari bring you this health tip.
Here's today's Chari Center of Health powerful quick tip for natural weight loss. Water lowers the amount of fat stored in your body. Drink water to lose weight. Try to drink a minimum of 8 8-ounce glasses of water a day. Water is the safest and most effective weight loss supplement on the market today. Being even 1% dehydrated can cause a significant drop in metabolism, which can also interfere with weight loss. Here's how. If you drink enough water, your kidneys will do their job of excreting toxic waste products from your body, and your liver can focus 100% on burning stored fat for energy. So the more water you drink, the less fat you'll store in your body, and the less water you drink, the more fat you'll store in your body. So so drink at least 8 8-ounce glasses of water a day. Other benefits in addition to a better metabolism include great complexion and better muscle tone. Here's another secret. Water prevents you from overeating. Water creates that feeling of fullness and helps to suppress your appetite. Just drinking one glass of water 30 minutes before a meal is a good way to keep you from overeating at a particular meal and enhances your digestion. Preventing overeating, which is one of the main causes of weight gain, will not only help you maintain your current body weight, but will also help you to lose weight.
And water has zero calories. If you substitute all your sodas, coffee, teas, and beer for a glass of water, you could lose a good amount of weight. If you were to replace 2 bottles of soda with 2 bottles of water every day, you would be cutting 500 calories from your daily diet and potentially lose a pound a week. So be sure to drink at least 64 ounces of water throughout the day for the benefits of weight loss, to prevent overeating, and to increase your metabolism.
Take your health to the next level for the new year. Go to charicenter.com. That's charicenter.com. Or call 805-963-1111. That's 805-963-1111.
I'm Richard Dugan. Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. I'm here with Joanne DiMaggio. She has written Soul Writing, Conversing with Your Higher Self. And welcome back to our program. And I want to jump right back in here talking about, you had made a comment about the different forms that one's writing could take. Mm-hmm. I actually thought about and was not real successful in carrying this out, and this was years ago, being in the audio field, I thought, well, mini cassette recorders are really cool. This was, I guess, back in the 90s or what have you. I'll get one of those and I'll just start journaling on that. But when you're writing it out with your hand, you made a comment about, and maybe you can describe this a little bit more, mm-hmm. the difference between keyboarding it as opposed to actually feeling the ink going on to the paper through the pen and mm-hmm. subsequently from your hand and it's what have you. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I was to record it, the chances are that I'm going to get a little too intellectual and I'm going to start editing myself mm-hmm. or the information mm-hmm. that's coming through.
Well, you have to remember that this writing is done in an altered state of consciousness. So if you're able to record in an altered state, that would be the ideal thing. And I have met many people who are able to do a meditation prior to coming out and giving a talk, and they have always said to me, well, I'm not really sure what's going to come out. It's wherever spirit takes me. I have never been able to do that. I write completely different than I speak. So for me, the writing is much more sensitive. It takes more time and patience to write by hand. As I mentioned, it has a completely different feel to it, because when you write by hand, you do sense a spiritual presence within, and that presence is just gently guiding your hand. You know what you're writing. You don't have to stop and think about it. When you sit at a computer and you put your hands over the keyboard, some part of you has to remain in a conscious state in order to remember the location of the appropriate keys. So as I said, if you're one key off, you won't be able to read the message. So I think if you have to consistently check the placement of your fingers on the keyboard, it can disrupt the flow of the message because it'll pull you in and out of that altered state of consciousness.
Okay. So I'm listening to you talking about soul writing and conversing mm-hmm. with my higher self. Mm-hmm. And I really would like to do this. Where do I start?
Well, there's several things you can do. And we talked a little bit about setting the stage. I tell people to find a sacred place where they can write undisturbed. Now, that isn't to say that you can't do this anywhere. I have done it on a plane. I have done it on my front porch in a hotel room. I've even done it in the middle of a conference when I felt like I was... I always tell people, I say, I'm getting buzzed, which means that spirit wants to tell me something, and I get out my little notebook and I get a message that way. But find a sacred place that you won't be disturbed, and set up a date for yourself where you're going to be doing this writing usually if you can do it on the same time of day every day, that's ideal because it sets up a pattern, but you don't have to do that. Focus on an ideal. I tell people the Casey Search for God material defined an ideal as the highest spiritual attainment that you can reach on the material plane. So everything in your life is measured against that ideal. So find an ideal and use that somewhat as a mental mantra. Mine is to inspire and empower through the written word. So everything that I do, I keep that in the forefront of my mind when I'm doing the writing. Meditation is key to this process. You could do a long meditation. You could do a short one. Whatever gets you into that altered state. Sometimes you just count yourself down. Sometimes you just take some deep breaths, do some breath work, just to quiet and slow everything down. I always say a prayer of protection, surround myself with white light. One of the differences between automatic writing and inspired writing or soul writing is that Casey said that inspired writing is coming from within, whereas automatic writing is coming from an outside source. He warned a lot against automatic writing because of the fear of bringing in some lower influences that aren't necessarily for your highest and best. So you really want to protect yourself when you're doing this sort of work. And then you just get ready to write. You just keep your eyes open halfway so you could see the paper or the screen if you're working on a computer. Just keep your wrists loose and be patient and trust. It's very much a spontaneous process. So for it to succeed, you have to trust in the source of the material and then get out of the way. So if you try to manipulate or you force the words, you'll disrupt the process. And then just allow the message to proceed. And sometimes it's good to wait before you read it. Because words are like fine wine. They mellow in time, and they always take on a different meaning. I've gone back and read some things I wrote months ago, and they mean something completely different to me today than they did at the time that I wrote. So those are the basic steps that people can take. Just basic, you know, and if you don't want to do all of those, the most important ones are to find a sacred place, a place that's quiet, take some deep breaths, go into a meditative state. However you reach an altered state of consciousness, whether it's through music or chimes or whatever works for you is fine. And then say the prayer of protection so that only the highest and best comes to you, and just keep your pen poised on the paper and step out of the way and let the message come. And people are... almost everyone's successful the first time they try this. If you're not, I just tell people, just keep writing ovals, just keep your wrists loose and keep the writing flowing. And if you don't get a written message, if a message comes into your head, then go ahead and write that down and then continue. It's with practice, it gets better and better and better until you actually can write long passages.
Now, we're obviously talking about a couple of things here. Number one is trust.
Mm-hmm.
Trust that you are connecting with your higher self, that the mm-hmm. information that you're getting, and trust the first impression. That's kind of what I'm, because that's what I've been hearing. Regardless of whether you're doing this type of writing or mm-hmm. in some instances, if you choose to go into the fields of intuitive work to support and help others in terms of confirming the information that they already know,
mm-hmm.
whatever that first impression is what you need to go with.
Right.
And
right.
then, of course, get the heck out of the way.
Right, right. And what it's going to feel like, it's been described as a rapid inner dictation. William Blake, who was talking about his work, Milton said that that it came without premeditation, and sometimes even against his will, the information that came forward. And John Keats said that it was by chance or magic that it was given. Something was given to me, Rudyard Kipling said that the key to gaining access to his inner helper was not to think consciously but to drift. So he's referring, of course, to the meditative process. So there's evidence all through history of great writers and composers. Even Mozart said he didn't really know where or how the music was coming to him, but he was just recording it as it was coming in from a higher source. So, you know, The Course in Miracles was written this way. Many of Ruth Montgomery's books were written that way. I think Richard Bach, in describing how he wrote Jonathan Livingston Seagull, same process. He was just walking one day and he heard the inner voice say Jonathan Livingston Seagull. He went home and, you know, pretty much in one sitting created that beautiful story. So this is something that, like I said, anyone can do. You just have to listen. You can ask a question, you'll get the answer. But if you don't want to ask a question and you just want to kind of tune into the universe, so to speak, and see what's kind of happening out there, you got a message for me, something for my highest and best, you can get it that way too.
You're giving me flashbacks. It's like my own movie, and I'm having flashbacks of my early days, Ruth Montgomery, and of course, Edgar Casey. I've read his works, and who was the other person that you, there was one other person you mentioned as well, but I'm just sitting there going, that was when I was 17. Now, I still feel like that inside, and I sort of miss those days because those were some incredible times as far as the discovering all of this incredible information that's out there.
Right.
And I think there's another, this is another aspect, and I struggled with this even when I journaled, that I would come close to editing myself, and maybe sometimes I actually did, because I had in the back of my mind, what if someday somebody reads this? I mean, my gosh, do I really want them to know these deep, dark secrets or whatever, you know? That's, again, if you get into that, as you say, altered state, it's not likely that those thoughts are going to come into your mind.
Well, I always say, you know, you're having this private conversation with God or your angels or your guides or your higher self or whoever you think you're having this conversation with, you wouldn't necessarily want people eavesdropping on it. That's one of the steps I do advise people to keep their writing safe. Many people say, well, why can't I share this with my mother or my husband or my sister? And I said, you can if you get generic information. But you really need to be a little discerning if it's private, because you're working out issues when you're doing this writing many times.
Yeah.
You know, you have, I like to tell the story of I envision before we come to the earth that we're like little students. You know, we've gone over the curriculum of classes that we've taken in this earth school that we passed or didn't pass. We set up the new curriculum, then we have a little book bag on our backs, and little souls are ready to come back. And before we go, you know, our mother, father, whatever, says to us, well, I've put something in your backpack. It's a phone home card. So to me, basically, it's like saying, you know, when you get down to that planet, you're going to forget a lot of things. And you're going to get to a point at times when you're going to be very lonely, or you're going to be very sad, or you're going to have a lot of questions, or you're going to feel isolated or abandoned, and you're not going to know who to go to. You're going to try to work some of this out yourself. You're going to go to your friends. You're going to go to your family. But sometimes they're not going to be able to help you. All you have to do is take out that phone home card and use it, because somebody will be answering you, will be there for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So that's what soul writing is to me. It's a phone home card that I could take out any time that I am looking for guidance and phone home, and somebody will answer at the other end.
I have told people, more so in the last year and 6 months, there's only one guarantee I will give you, and that is by listening to and conversing with and following the promptings of, in this context, your higher self. It will never hurt you. It will never lead you astray. It may take you through challenges, but the higher self knows that you can handle those challenges. That's the one guarantee that I give people. I said that if you listen to and follow the promptings, it'll never, never, never lead you astray.
Right, right. I think of it often as a life preserver.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm mired in problems, I can, you know, I feel like I'm sinking sometimes. I can just really grab onto it, and the information always gives me insights that I know I wouldn't get if I were writing in a conscious state.
Yeah.
So the endless search for why, you know, you ask all these questions, why is this happening? Those kinds of questions can be found when you do the soul writing. And doing it, you go from why to, oh, I see. So you have that deep understanding.
Let me ask you before we wrap up our program here, and by the way, that elicited a response from another one of my flashbacks through a program where I was constantly asking these why questions, and they said, throughout this program, we're going to teach you and hopefully train you to give up the need to know why. So be that as it may, but that's from the conscious state, I'm sure. Let me ask you what you hope to and want to achieve through the work that you're doing and the book, Soul Writing.
I think the one thing that came out of the workshops I've given and the input I've had from people is that we're never alone. We're connected to each other, and we're connected to a higher source, and that source is available to all of us. And so I really want people to know that you don't need to have a special talent to be able to do it. It is a God-given right, and the benefits are endless, and the application of this is limitless. It's something that you can use for almost every part of your life. And so I would encourage people to take the time, set the time aside every day, and connect with spirit through soul writing.
And who is Joanne DiMaggio?
Who is Joanne DiMaggio? I am a writer by profession. I live in Charlottesville, Virginia. I am the coordinator for the ARE Charlottesville area, president of the Atlantic University Alumni Association. And I'm also a hypnotherapist specializing in past life regression.
And now you have completed your first appearance on Tell Me Your Story with Richard Dugan. And I thank you so much for taking time out to do that. And we look forward to talking with you again.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Richard.
And before we let you go, your website?
It's soulwriter.net.
Soulwriter.net?
Yes. SOULWRITER.net.
All right, soulwriter.net. We are also linked to your website at richarddugan.com, and we encourage people to pick up the book, Soul Writing, Conversing with Your Higher Self. Again, my guest, Joanne DiMaggio. Thank you again.
Thank you.
I'm Richard Dugan, and this has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're here to give you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And who knows, maybe there are dreams you're not even aware of that when you go into this soul-writing state, hey, they may just come up. And boy, wouldn't that be a neat surprise to say, oh, I would love to do that. I hadn't thought of that. That would be quite exciting. Well, I've got a lot of dreams of my own, and I'm hoping that they will also come true, and I hope yours do as well. We'll be back next Saturday with our special guest. I don't usually promote the following week, but Greg Braden will be with us next week to talk about deep truth. Until next Saturday, I'm Richard Dugan for Tell Me Your Story. Love to Lal.
You have a message that others can benefit from. A meditation to share, a talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present, a workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and Fast Forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.